When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Breaking news.
That's right. And this one is actually heartbreaking news. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I really need to, like, I'm going to file a police report, you know, soundbite. Because I feel like I had to do that, but I love these people. So it was hard for me to really pull the trigger like that. But bust this. So according to the Neighborhood Talk, but they got it from People. So according to People Magazine and the Neighborhood Talk, the cast of Family Matters, right? Carl, Harriet, Laura, you know what I'm saying? They was all on the red carpet at the recent 90s Con, right? There's an event called 90s Con. They were all on there.
That's actually cute.
but Jaleel White, who played Steve Urkel, was not there with them, right?
Wow.
Listen to what they had to say.
Love you, Jaleel. You're wonderful. Sorry you're not here. We miss you.
I would say, you know what, baby? I still love you. You know, as we grow, we learn, we change, you know what I'm saying? And we get a little more accepting of life and everything and all. And I would like to say, if you were here and I could hug you, I would. Because I don't hold anything and I don't want you to hold anything either. I still love you. I still see you as that little boy that you were. You're 12 years old and you came for this show. I'm still the same joint.
Oh. Seems like something going on.
Yeah. Now, what the hell is going on? You see what I'm saying? Now, you see why I start to use the, hi, everyone. I want to file a police report. I start to use that sound right. But I couldn't do that to them because they are beloved, okay, in my home and in my heart. But what the hell is going on? What they did to Steve Urkel? I want to know. Because it sounded like they had a lot of explaining to do. Carl talking about, you know, hey, Steve, send love, Steve. Laura talking about, well, I still talk to him all the time. So I'm, you know, she trying to save her ass and separate herself from whatever the bullshit is. And Harriet, the one who, you know, older black women and people, you know, they really don't give a fuck. They didn't pay their dues and been life ain't been no crystal staircase. So at a certain point of living, you just say how the fuck you feel about shit. And you see, she started talking too much. You know, I tell him, you know, hey, I don't want you to carry anything. I love him just like he was a 12-year-old little boy on set. And I love him. I don't want him to carry anything. And I'm not going to carry anything. Still love you to this day. Like a 12-year-old boy on set. What did
Damn,
you do?
I want to know what happened. What happened
I
want to
know what
Urkel?
Happened. I don't know, but Steve Urkel, you are more than welcome to come on the Friend Zone, okay?
No,
now you can tell
didn't.
Your side of the story and we can get down to the bottom White. Of this shit here, Jaleel, because we want to know what happened for real, okay? Jaleel. So that being said, I want to welcome everybody to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental wealth, mental hygiene, and mental wellness, because who in the hell one and end up in the dark on what really was going on Family Matters set. I want to know what happened personally. I'm nosy, okay? And I love that show, and I feel like I deserve as many episodes as I watched, as many hours I done clocked, okay, watching that damn show. Right. I want
to
know
you
what
had
happened.
Sing.
How y'all doing? Hey, friend. Hey, Sante. How y'all doing? Better than the cast of Family Matters, huh?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Also, before we take one more step further, today is Tuesday, September 19th. September 19th is the birthday of one of my best friends, Frank Watson.
We love today. You, Frank.
Yes, we Loved. Do. Love you too. Like you, love you like you're still here. And today would have been his 40th birthday. He would have turned a big 40.
Oh.
So, you know, we would have been somewhere.
It would have been
this,
a big...
We would have partied this weekend. It just went by. So at this point today, we'd have either been on a vacation somewhere or maybe somewhere, you know, in a hospital bed getting an IV drip or something because we had been exhausted. But we really would have went there for his birthday. And so much love to Frank Watson. We celebrate your memory. We lift your memory. We miss you and we love you. That being said, what the fuck is going on Family Matters? Like, who did it? I want to know.
I don't know. Maybe Jaguar Wright gonna come out of nowhere with a video.
Her lying ass. You see her reaching. She really pissed me off. I know we on a time schedule, but she really got to be careful with the shit she be talking and saying about people trying to connect deaths to people and shit. Like, what are you? What the hell are you even talking about? And get away from me with that dark ass energy and shit. Like, if you don't get your bald headed ass the fuck away from me talking that shit, Scoop Ball, get your ass the fuck away from me. Okay.
I'm tired. I don't know that anyone actually, like, do people listen and actually think that is true, or are they just watching because it's funny? You never know what's going to come out of her mouth. I feel like that's the entertainment value.
They want to believe shit like that about people. The things that she says about people are the rumors and folklore that circulate about, you know, celebrities, and people want to believe that crazy ass shit.
Well, yeah, of course.
That she's spewing out of her damn cigarette butt ass mouth. I cannot. And I really love her music too. So it just, that breaks my heart to see her just acting a damn fool like she is. But what she said was just so harmful. And I'm like, bitch, you talking about people.
Which time?
Whose lives? Right. Like, some, like, people's kids is alive and shit. She was saying that all these deaths were attached to somebody. I don't even want to repeat that garbage, but like, what she was saying was just wild as fuck. And it was connected to people that are still alive and very much connected to the deaths of those people that she mentioned. So it was just in really, really poor taste, like dirt poor taste. So anyways, we can move on from her and her, you know, potty mouth.
All right.
How were your weekends? What'd you guys do?
I was in LA. Shout out to GLAAD. I was a featured speaker.
That's
at
right.
there.
You did tell us that.
Yeah. First annual Black Queer Creative Summit. Shout out to Deshaun Usher and all of the players involved in making that happen. I was spoke on a great panel. Shout out to Ryan Mitchell. Shout out to shout out to Travelle Anderson, the beautiful Raquel Willis. We had a great panel. Yes. Great panel, Shar Jocelle's in the audience. Check and Kate. Shout out to my boy, my esthetician Shane, which we're gonna actually have him on the show. Skin by Shane, hell yeah! But it was lots of people in the audience, and we had a great panel, so it was great to be there. Big huge party. Kid Fury came. It was lots
cool.
of us.
Did you see Cheska Lee?
I did
she
not.
Was there. Yeah,
I didn't see Cheska Lee, and I saw everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, she was.
I didn't see
there
her
too. Oh, I'm sad y'all missed each other, but congratulations. That's really
thank you.
Huge.
Yes, thank
That's
you. I had
exciting.
A good time. My outfit turned out good, so I was in a good mood.
Speaking
you know how
of-
when your clothes work out, you'd be like, all right, bet. It looked like I thought it was going to look in my head.
What does he call himself? Ryan Slay Mitchell?
The Slay Guy. Hell
the
yeah.
The Slay Guy. Yes. Always has such a cute outfit on. Like,
every
I noticed
time.
That. I want to hit him and be like, where do you shop? Because I have never not seen just a perfectly, like, curated outfit, but the cutest looks. Like, I saw he had, like, a
green
corduroy. Yeah, like the corduroy vest with the matching wide leg pants. It was just so fly. I want to know.
Ryan don't play. Ryan don't
hit
play
him up.
All.
He'd love for you to hit him
I'm
up.
I'm legit going
to
ask him. Right? Because he's just so fly all the time. But anyway, I'm in New York. Those of you watching, I'm sorry. It looks like I'm sitting in the dark.
She black again, literally.
The window behind me is this whole wall is window, so I'm backlit, and there's no way for me to sit in front of the window because there's nothing in front of there for me to sit on. I really need to
figure out. She did it from the floor.
I thought of it, too.
The hippie version. Nah, the mic. You would have had to hold the mic up.
This should be the episode where you're shady. Because since you have, you know what I'm saying? I think you should just say, like, just
it is a shady episode. Blazing,
you know what I'm saying?
But I'm in New York for the next, like, week and a half. Yay!
Welcome home.
Doing some work. Thank you. I'm actually happy to be home. When y'all, when we were recording earlier for some other stuff, I had an egg and cheese on a roll. You know, I was happy to be back home. But anyways, Asante, what about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I got to spend it with a bunch of Virgos.
We went
to Jay's to celebrate Crystal and still Jay. Yes. Gordy was there too. So it was just like a bunch of Virgos in one room.
Virgo season. Woo.
I hate we was I watching the game. That. I was in LA. Otherwise, you know, I'd have been right there. It'd have been an Aries.
I wanted some of that cake. That cake looked good.
Oh, yeah. The cake was good. Drinks was good. Food was good. Cake was good. Friendship, fellowship was good.
I miss y'all.
The game was good. Y'all know I'm just like a casual sports watcher. I was tired as hell just because I had been up super early. I'm trying to become a morning person. Like, this, hence that text message conversation.
No, why did I text Asante and Dustin? Mind you, I'm back home packing. It's like 4 a.m. I text them just to ask about a schedule shift, and they were both up. I was like, why the fuck? Y'all text like, hey, yeah, that works. I was like, what? Yep. Why are y'all up usually, at 4 a.m?
Usually, usually I'm up at 4 a.m, like, still having not slept, but I was up at 4 this morning because I had woke up at like 2-3 o'clock. So I was like up. I'm like, all right, well, we started there at this point.
Hell, you know, you're only gonna crashing out.
Well, because I only need 4 or 5 hours. If I take a 2-hour nap, it fucks up my whole shit. So I was like, you know what? Now that I'm like really trying to like learn this and hone this in, trying to do the morning thing. So again, I was tired, but I was watching the game and I was falling asleep during the game because I was sleepy. But it was a good ass game. That shit was crazy. I was like,
I saw everyone going crazy on Twitter.
Wow. Sure. But yes, that was my weekend. What about you, friend? What about your weekend?
Can
we talk about what all adventures you got into?
I mean, I was headed here, so a lot of packing and prepping and just a lot going on this week. So I was trying to just get my mind right. I've told y'all this gets a little bit challenging because I've carved out such a quiet little peaceful bubble where I am now. And so when I have to come in for like these long stays of just work for 2 weeks, it just can be a little bit overstimulating because I just like having to pack, having to prep, having to make sure you're organized, especially when you're gone for that long, like don't have everything I need. And then we have to also record all our shows and do all the Patreon stuff. It's a lot to juggle. So just trying to keep my nervous system.
Drained you.
I just want to take a nap. I'm so overwhelmed. But we here. And it's going to be a great week.
Amen.
Right?
I love your positive outlook.
Trying to hang in there, brother. You actually had the Black Business of the Week for us, right?
Here we go right here, baby. And it's coming live from Essence.com. Give it up one time for Jillian Anderson and Devin Starks, who launched the platform
Divine.
Okay? Divine Devin Starks, okay? I'm not gonna crack the joke that goes with that because it's just inappropriate right now.
Please.
So they launched the platform.
Yes.
Her Ride, which is the rideshare app for women by women to democratize transportation tech for women. Okay. Now this is a great thing here. Okay, you guys. This was birthed in March 2020 with the mission of prioritizing the safety and empowerment of women. Built with the needs of women in mind, they aim to improve the lives of women everywhere through safe transportation, job creation, and financial security, the website reads. It's herride.com, baby, HERIDE.com. And you can choose. It's available for service in Atlanta, Georgia, and Athens, Georgia right now. So if you are in the Atlanta area, and I know it's a lot of women in Atlanta that listen to us because you showed up so beautifully in support of our live shows in Atlanta. So aww. If you use rideshare apps for transportation, this is a Black woman-owned service that is focused
on. That's fire.
Yes, ooh, women drivers.
I hope they continue to expand.
Right. Female-friendly women drivers, focused on preserving the safety of women riders. So this is definitely something for you guys to support. Much love to
okay, Jillian.
The founders.
Fine.
Yeah, Devin and Jillian. And you can go to HERIDE.com. That's herride.com. One R, not two.
Thank you. Let's jump into this week's last week's recap. Last week's episode titled The Friend Contract. Dustin had us discussing pop culture topics that examined friendship dynamics. And those of you listening had a lot. Asante's already laughing. A lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
Well, a lot of you stood out to me in the comments. Some of you because of the episode and some of you because of the side comments in the episode, such as Ballhead Queen here in the Patreon streets. Ballhead Queen's comment says, babies have strong jaws. My son clamped down on my nipple while feeding and I almost popped him in the head. They also don't care about anything and will move all kinds of ways with your nipple in tow. I wish I could attach pictures of how my kids have used my titties up. And Shayla Hampton comments right under and says, right, I was listening like, woo, if Dustin only knew. I had to get the nipple shields and linoleum to numb them after my daughter tried to rip them off. And they both had a bunch of laughing emojis after their comments. I thought that those were hilarious. Dustin, you and the latch comment, very funny, very funny. What about you, friend? What did you find out there in those streets?
So I too was in the gated community. Sheldon Williams said, I agree with what Asante said. I could never be able to vouch for someone's character in a situation like that. Being a survivor of sexual assault at the hands of one of my family members, you can never honestly know what someone is capable of. You are only subject to part of someone's character, and we all know people are multifaceted. It also speaks volumes how people are so willing to support those who committed such heinous crimes privately, but won't publicly support them because they know the backlash they would face. It makes me give them the side eye even more. And that's what I'm saying. That would just be, I'm just thankful that it just hasn't been our reality, you know? And even us discussing that last week made me really think about that a lot, you know? Like, what would happen if one of your friends came to you to tell you that, you know, they had been accused? Like, I would still hear them out because it's my friend. And at the end of the day, I think you should still hear your friend out, you know? But saying whether they did it or not, that's when it starts getting tricky because, like this comment said, and like we mentioned last week, you never really know anybody. You know, just because you know someone one way doesn't mean that everyone has experienced them the same way. Yeah, sounds so funny.
Because you keeping it real.
All of that was real.
So, what about you, Dustin Ross? What'd you find in those Twitter streets?
Your Twitter comments just hit me like a ton of bricks.
What are you smoking?
But anyway, so I want to give congratulations to a couple of my friends, right, who are doing the damn thing. Shout out to, and they tweeted about it, so I feel like this is the perfect place to do it. Shout out to my girl, Claudia Jordan, who was happy to share that her movie, Dear Frank, will be airing on Peacock. Okay, September 27th, starring her, Brian White, Columbus Short. That's right. So, and my girl Kieria. So,
is it a new toy with Brian White and Columbus Short?
No, so, shout out to Claudia and congratulations on getting your movie placed on Peacock, baby. Also, want to give a shout out to the incredible Gia Peppers. Much love to Gia Peppers.
Hey,
Gia.
Gia, this was just announced in Variety. The headline reads, More Than That with Gia Peppers jumps from podcast to TV. So Gia has a new show coming on Revolt. Shout out to my Revolt family. Much love to Revolt. Gia has a new show coming on Revolt called More Than That with Gia Peppers. It is a 4-episode run on the Revolt cable network that debuts this Tuesday evening. So shout out to Gia Peppers.
That's so exciting. Congrats,
much
Gia.
Love to Gia.
And that's on GP.
Okay,
word, Gia.
Real. No, Gia Peppers.
I told her that one time. I was like, you need to sign up. And that's on GP. And she was like, we was in the 4th season in Atlanta. It was a great time.
Come on, shout out to Gia.
Much love to Gia Peppers. And if you want something, this person I feel like needs to be on Married to Medicine. I don't even know where she lives, but this was so funny. This is a doctor. Her name is Dr. Ebony Jade Hilton. Shout out to Ebony J. Hilton _MD. Much love to you, Dr. Hilton, who tweeted, year 3.5 of this pandemic, and based on comments in my mentions, I now understand why McDonald's had to warn people that coffee is actually hot.
Oh my God, what?
I said, no, if Bravo that's don't real. See this. That's this great perspective. Is the perspective. Speaking of perspective, this is the lens that we need on that cast of Married to Medicine.
Yes.
So while y'all got Phaedra's vapid ass, you know what I'm saying, taking up space on Married to Medicine, we need to highlight Dr. Ebony Jade Hilton, okay? She's in Charlottesville, Virginia. Shout out to you, Dr. Hilton. Beautiful doctor. Much love to Dr. Ebony J. Hilton.
Oh,
yes. Okay.
She looks somebody like a Barbie. Somebody
get on the phone right. to her. Get here!
Right. We need to do Married to Medicine, Virginia, okay? There okay. ain't shit to do but cook. That's what Pusha T said. Anyway, that's it for me this week. That's what Pusha T said. Up, no. I'm from Virginia. Well, ain't shit to do but cook. I was like, yo.
You are so random. So, do you guys have any announcements before we jump into this week's episode?
No, I don't. I had to I don't think know why myself. You looked. And I had to think and use my mind's eye to see.
Oh, actually, I do want to shout out. Hold on, let me pull up my Twitter. I saw Marlene Taylor, who was the host of Living for We. My buddy old pal from Cleveland. Yes. She tweeted out that we were nominated for Best Health and Wellness Podcast by the Black Podcast Awards, which is so cute.
Yes.
Award nominated podcast, The Friend Zone, baby. That's right.
Yeah. For Living for We, and that really made me so happy because
oh no, Living for We. I thought The Friend Zone.
See, when you said that, okay.
My bad. Okay. And congratulations to Living for We. Okay, clap it up. Congratulations.
You know, lots of wellness, me, black yeah. wellness. But that's that right. really yes. made me happy because we're only one season in.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were recording it, I literally said, I was like, man, this show is so good. I feel like it's going to get so many awards. And remember, like, I think our third episode out, we were already on the splash page for Apple.
Yes.
And remember, we were on like Spotify as like hot new or whatever, you know, the stuff they put when you're a new show. But just really a lot of support. And that's just so exciting. I'm excited to see where this show goes as
y'all
it continues
worked hard
to grow.
On that.
We
y'all
did,
really
so congratulations to Marlene Harris-Taylor, who's the host and executive producer, and Hannah Leach, who was the senior producer, and then, of course, myself. We did an amazing job,
I'm
so I'm really
happy
thankful
for
to that team. Thank you. I hope you win.
Friend, you will.
Unfortunately, it's not open to public voting. It's like being voted on by some kind of board, so... Fingers crossed, it's only three shows.
We gotta sleep with the committee.
To get some dirt on the people that's voting. And
no,
William
you didn't.
And the voting for, you better
do a
vote
Trump
for
style.
For me.
Yeah. It's only three shows in that category, so I'm hoping that we win next. That would be well deserved.
Good luck to
and
y'all,
congratulations
for real.
To everyone else. Hell thank yeah. you. I
you put your all in that shit, for real.
May the odds it ever be
did.
In your favor.
Such a great show. So that's that on that.
This is The Friend Zone.
Did you know that most bedding is made with harsh chemicals like formaldehyde, synthetic pesticides, and toxic dyes? But one company is changing that standard for good. Boll & Branch makes the softest, most luxurious sheets without any toxins or harsh chemicals. They use the finest 100% organic cotton that's traceable from family farm to your family home. Boll & Branch sheets have a natural, unmatched softness and get softer with every wash. You guys, these are the most luxurious sheets I have ever had. They're super soft. They're super, like, dope the way that they're embroidered. I love them. I feel like everybody should have them. They're probably the most high-quality sheets you're ever going to own. I think they're probably the most high-quality sheets I've ever owned. They're probably the best set of sheets I'm ever going to own, if I'm being honest. I might go back and get a whole bunch of other stuff because they have all sorts of bedding. They have bedding and more. But the sheets are super, super, super dope, and you should all get some. Boll & Branch signature hem sheets are a bestseller for a reason. I just told y'all. They're the sheets that get softer with every wash. They're made with the highest quality 100% organic cotton threads on earth. They feel buttery to the touch and are super breathable, so they're perfect for warmer weather. Bowling Branch signature sheets come in 10 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King. Bowling Branch sheets fit the deepest of mattresses and are labeled with top and bottom tags, so making your bed is easier than ever. Best of all, Bowling Branch offers a 30-night worry-free guarantee with free shipping and returns on all U.S. orders. Sleep better at night with Bowling Branch sheets. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code FRIENDZONE at bowlingbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com. Promo code FRIENDZONE. Exclusions apply. See site for details. I'm in the
zone. Let's jump into this week's episode. It is an Asante production this week, and we're going in cold. We have no idea what you got planned.
I don't have children, but I have a god baby. And now you have to ask yourself sometimes, do I want to set my god baby up for success? I know I do. You know, do I want to save money on private tutoring? You know, is that even in my budget for my god baby? You know, is this a big school year for my god baby? Maybe they start in kindergarten. You know, is my god baby ahead? Is my god baby being challenged enough in class? These are questions that I had to ask myself. And the way I found the answers was through iXL Learning. And iXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. iXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, iXL gives the right help to each kid, including my god baby, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home. Pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. And my god baby got a tablet. I had to get one for my god baby. No more grading those worksheets. iXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math questions and math equations or grammar rules yourself. iXL has built-in explanations videos. And now 1 in 4 students in the United States are learning with iXL. And iXL is used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. And one of them school districts, guess who attends it? You heard it. My God baby. Now that my God baby wasn't struggling with nothing. They're very smart. But you could always use more help to round out or supplement what's being taught in school. So make an impact on your child's learning and get iXL now. And the Friend Zone listeners can get an exclusive 20% off iXL membership when they sign up today at iXL.com/friendzone. Visit iXL.com/friendzone to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What are we talking about this week, Asante?
This is an Asante production. My nizzle. Yes. So I did an episode on scammers. Mm-hmm, and really I don't know why everybody loved it so much, but the algorithm on my TV was going crazy. And now I've been watching body cam footage and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
All of that is irrelevant. I was trying to think of what, yeah, I keep watching. Okay. I'm just going to take a really quick moment and then I'm going to do this and then we're going to do it and it's going to be done, right? YouTube will not stop showing me like body cams, and I game a lot. So like when I'm like gaming and me and Gordy, we play the same game. So sometimes we'll be playing the same games and our YouTubes be playing shit. Mine is playing that. His is playing like whatever the fuck, unless you listen to music. Anyway, the algorithm has been showing me police body cams when they're like apprehending suspects for shoplifting or murder suspects in stores. What? Or couples having domestic disputes, but then there ends up being something else going on. There was an eviction video I was watching. I can't stop watching the body cams. I don't know why. It's actually pretty interesting because these are situations where they're not like, where these are just regular ass cops, not like hating ass cops, or at least in these situations. Anyway, I said that I did not mean to talk about any of that.
Well, it kind
of
sounds like that show Cops that was on for so... I don't even know if it still airs, but it sounds like Cops. Similar to that. Oh, Lord.
It's like Cops, but instead of it being like the actual camera production value, it's just the body cam. And they literally will fast forward through, like, you know, personal information and stuff like that. But they'll show, like, there was... okay. The cops got a call that there was an apartment having a party, but it was supposed to be a vacated apartment. So they show these cops walking up and there's this girl literally in the hallway walking with like a pan, and she's like, I cooked up something good. And they were like, okay, you know, are you in that apartment right there? And they were like, she was like, yeah. And they were like, okay, well, that apartment's supposed to be vacant. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go in and get the owners. And they were like, yeah, you should do that. She's like, I'll be out in 5 minutes. And like, I was like, 5 minutes. And then they heard like the music being turned down. The people in there. They heard, first of all, there's a lot of stuff that happened in this damn video. They heard her locking the door. One of the cops was trying to donkey kick the door open. And they were like, no, we hear the deadbolt. We hear the deadbolt. Then somehow or another, they ended up going around outside because this was in Atlanta. And it was in one of those neighborhoods where, you know, the patio be on like the first floor. So they went around and you see people like hopping over the patio, exiting the apartment. And then the cops enter the apartment and they're making sure it's empty. And there's like tables and you could tell people had moved out, but like still they were having, I guess, their last turn up in that bitch or whatever. They were going through the apartment trying to make sure it was empty. A nigga was hiding in the closet. They had to pull this nigga out the closet and ask him why the fuck he was hiding. Wasn't ready. It was just a whole bunch of crazy shit. Right. What a way to come out the fucking closet.
No, wait. But before you move on, did y'all see, excuse me, that clip of the cop? I don't know if he ran the young girl over or if he witnessed it.
Oh.
But he was talking about her and laughing.
Yeah.
And it was the oddest thing. Like, he was laughing about the fact that she had just been killed at like a crosswalk. That's it was cold. Like a young Indian girl. Y'all didn't see that?
I did. He said she was worth $11,000. He said she had a low value.
That's what he said. He was like, she's 26 and was of low use or low value. Mm-hmm. Something so strange and cracking up. And then you see the moment he realizes that the body cam was on the whole time. You see his hand reach to turn it off. Because he was like, oh, fuck. Like, I said all that shit.
Why would you ever even feel some shit like that?
That was
it's one thing if, you know, if somebody has done something horrible to deserve some language like that. But just to speak that way over somebody who didn't deserve it, who's dead, mind you.
A young girl.
That man is a literal demon. And I hope he gets whatever's coming to him from the, where them ladies that just went and dark. Threw their lorries in the water in Montgomery. We need them just to throw a dark. Little bit on
it's
him.
Scary. But this anyway, right that made me think of that because it just happened this past week.
That is just unspeakable.
Unhinged. Yeah.
Oof, well, the cop videos I've been watching ain't been that bad. Thank God the Lord Jesus. But back to something. Well, I was about to say something a little bit lighter, but we still talking about scamming. The last time we talked about scamming, there was a threat that was pulled on a particular scam, and I know you all wanted more information on it. So even though this is kind of a part two to the episode, this is really going to be a part one about this scammer. This is going to be about the large scam that they had, and then part two, which we will come back to in November. I will have that prepped as part of my homework. we'll conclude the series of this particular scammer, because that is how crazy this nigga is. But
I feel like I'm going to lay it out for you.
Well, we're telling the story about the $242 million airport scam.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go into BS High.
No, but see, I wanted to do a little bit of everything, but I was like,
scam.
But yo, I have this. I wrote this out like a movie because even though this was fucked up, I want to see this in the form of a movie. One of the YouTube videos that came up was, you know, before Hush Puppy, which was a popular Nigerian scammer. And I feel like the last time we talked about scams, we talked about scams first and then the Nigerians second. So I want to talk about the Nigerians first and then, you know, some more scams second. I don't want to just leave the Nigerians out there like that. But today we're only going to have time enough to talk about this one Nigerian. Let's just start it off from the beginning of this particular scam. Picture this. It's 1995. We're in Brazil. We're at the Banco Naresto. No Oreste. Excuse me. So there's a manager by the name of Nelson Sakaguchi at the Banco. He's there. He's minding his business. Again, he's at the Banco in Brazil. It's 1995. You know, he's sipping lemonade. He's watching bitches. Bitches is asking for days off. He's not giving it to him. Looking at accounts, doing whatever he got to do. Because I really want to see this as a movie. So that's why I'm narrating it like this, right? So Sakaguchi gets a phone call. And it's from some nigga in Nigeria. The Nigerian government is calling him. It's actually the governor of the central bank. The central bank is the highest financial organization in the country, and they actually control all of the banks and they determine financial policies.
They control the outer banks.
The outer and the inner banks and the underbanks and the overbanks, okay? So the banks. So the governor, he's telling he's telling Sakaguchi in Brazil, he's like, hey, you know, I know you at the bank down there in Brazil. We're planning to build an airport out here in Nigeria, Abuja, to be exact, the capital. And we're looking for investors for this airport project. And it's going to cost around $250 million, you know, give or take. But, you know, you got to be quick with this. This is something we calling everybody about. So, you know, if you're interested, you better jump now. And the manager is thinking like, well, damn, you know, in 1995, you know, he minded his business at the bank, but he worked at the bank. He'd been working at the bank for a minute. I think he was at this point, he was in the bank maybe 12, 15 years. I don't remember. I'll let you know towards the end how long he was at the banks. But he's been at the bank for at least 10 years at this point, 10 years plus. So he's looking at this opportunity to invest in the airport. You know, depending on average size airport, I could get a return on my investment in maybe 1 to 2 years. And also, he's working at the bank. So this investment is not his money. It's the bank's money. So everything he's saying, it sounds good to Sakaguchi, who is just minding his business in Brazil before he got this phone call. So the manager is trying to really think to himself about what the governor is telling him. But the governor in Nigeria also says, by the way, you get a $10 million commission for mediating this deal. You're going to help us get this $250 million for this project. And you also going to get a $10 million commission, you know, just for doing your thing, whatever your thing is. The Brazilian bank manager is like, all right, cool.
Bet.
Bet. The person that the manager is talking to is, or the governor of Nigeria. This is Emmanuel Nwude. The last name is spelled N-W-U-D-E in the event that I'm missing accent or just mispronouncing that altogether. The actual governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria at the time from 1993 to 1999 was Dr. Paul Ogwama.
Well, where the fuck was he?
Whom Emmanuel was impersonating. He was at work doing what he was doing while Emmanuel was wherever he was scamming, pretending to be him.
How did he let this happen?
How did he let this happen? Well, let me just tell you a little bit about Emmanuel and we'll see how he let this happen, right? Emmanuel was already, well, he was obviously already working in banks. That's why he has so much knowledge, I guess, of how to, you know, play this mind fuck with old boy. But he was a director slash bank manager at a Union Bank of Nigeria, which was a private bank. But he was already, you know, kind of doing well, but he wanted more money. He was like, you know, I'm making money, but I want some more money. So he put together a team of five people from his circle of, you know, familiar financial people. So they weren't just regular bankers. They were working within the government systems as well. So they had a pretty good idea of what looks good, what doesn't. Right. Not only did they understand like how everything worked, but they understood officials and titles. So they knew exactly who to impersonate or what to say or how to like proceed with doing certain things. Right.
I'm so impressed like, so far.
All of these accomplices were later on named in the lawsuit after, you know, things finally came to a head. But that's going to actually.
Damn, who flipped?
Well, it was rumored that one of them flipped, but they was later assassinated. Well, there was allegedly there was an accident and they believed the accident was an assassination because they thought he was going to flip. So they end up flipping the car.
Loose lips, sink caskets.
And mind you, there was like I told you, it was like five. I believe the sixth person was the person that passed. But there was like a couple. Like one of them was like a wife and husband duo.
Ooh.
It was keeping Bonnie it in house. Yeah, you know. But Emmanuel ain't had no Bonnie. He was just, you know, doing all the shit. He was running everything.
Blue face.
So, oh my God. Why does it always come back to blue face? Anyway. Because they all worked in the banking sector like Manny. I'm going to just call Emmanuel Manny from here on out. Because I feel like Manny, you know, like. That's the name of somebody that I hated. And since this nigga scam, that's what I'm going to call this nigga. So Manny had his team that was off in the banking sector. They knew how things were supposed to work. So they all knew how to impersonate people. So what they did first was they drafted this letter. They made it sound real professional. And this letter basically was impersonating some imaginary person in like the Department of Aviation or Finance. But basically, they was impersonating this person in this letter. And they were faxing. They were sending out this fax to a bunch of commercial banks internationally. So all around the world, banks are getting this letter. And basically, this letter saying that Nigeria wants to build an airport. Not only were they sending out this fax, they had to connect to a fax machine in a government office somewhere. So I don't know if somebody's baby mama or one of the cousins or husbands was supposed to fax this letter out at their job, but somebody was going to work at the government office, or somebody's job with a visitor pass at the government office, and sending out this letter to all of these international companies, making it seem even more legit. So you got the right language, it's coming from the right places, so people are believing this offer when it comes in. Speaking of people, Sakaguchi was one of those people that got the facts in Brazil when he was chilling before he got that phone call. So when he got that facts, basically talking about how they wanted to start this airport, he was like, you know, I'm into that, but I need to know what's going on. I need to have some more information. So then Emmanuel called him, and that's when they had the conversation. And he told him about the $10 million bonus. And he was like, all right, cool, I'm down for that. But I want to meet. You know, we should meet. And then Emmanuel was like, well, Manny was like, nah, you know, it's a confidential project, and it's not coming out for, you know, we're not going to start building for at least another 4 or 5 years. So
it's like catfishing when they'd be like, oh, my FaceTime don't work.
Well, so bingo, that's what I thought was going to happen, right? That's what I thought was going to happen. But it was catfish the other way, because initially Sakaguchi was like, we should meet, either you should come to Brazil or I should come out to Nigeria. And he's like, you know, I don't want no tracks, but, you know, we can meet. And then Sakaguchi was like, you know what? In a week, I got to be in London. Why don't you come meet me in London? And so then Manny like, you know what? Bet. We can meet in London. Child.
What year was this?
1995. Okay. That's why I said I need to see a movie about this. Like,
surprised there isn't one, because that was such a scam.
Yo, a whole airport? A whole airport.
This is what I don't get. If there's a conversation going on where all of these mega powerful banking institutions are getting this information about Nigeria from the government that they want to build an airport, that conversation is going to circulate. So no matter who they have on the inside of the fucking government administration, the people in the positions, you know, the powers that be, are going to be talking about that. So right. Why didn't this make its way back to the real fucking you know, governor, whoever the fuck he was impersonating? Right. He's like, they got me mad as fuck, because how did this shit happen? And where, right. What you say the other nigga's name was? Where was he? The real
Which one?
Doctor who?
Oh, Dr. Paul Aguama.
Where are you, Paul Aguama?
Aguama. Hope where? I'm saying that properly. Well, they agree to meet in London. So Manny decides to get the crew together so they don't got to push the facts no more or whatever right now, because, you know, they caught them a fish. They had to hook mm-hmm. somebody in. They get together. They figure out who's going to play who. Remember, Manny, he's playing Dr. Paul Aguama's role. So he's the government of the central bank. Somebody decides that they're going to be a deputy governor. And then we also got one of the people playing a director in the Ministry of Aviation.
I know this is back in the day, but they didn't have a directory, a government directory with a picture in it. I know you couldn't Google back then.
But everything was done in a paper system, or, you know, the computer screen was still black and white back then in 1995. Because there was a Windows 95, I think. So, you know, this was just coming in the color. A yearbook. Yeah. I guess you could still get away with saying you was somebody and operations man being somebody else. Baby. These people, they had an operations manual, and they picked out titles from this manual because they decided to be a director in the Ministry of Aviation. So they were picking titles that was like financial titles, somebody that want to, you know, build an airport, somebody that got to, you know, do permits. Like, they were making it seem legit or pretending. So they all picked their roles. I think even somebody's wife played one of those roles or something else. They got their lie together. They got their hands on a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know if half this stuff, like, some of this is dramatized. I'm gonna be real with y'all. Like, some of it is what they said, but I dramatized a lot of, like, how I wrote it. So, you know, they got their lie together. they got some things. I said they got some airport schematics, you know, because what they did was they scouted they got information on the location of where the airport that they were not going to build ever was going to be. So, you know, they had to get all types of papers and stuff to look some sort of legit, you know, when they met up with Sakaguchi. Ciao. They went to a hotel. They got an expensive suite. They had Sakaguchi picked up in a limo in London, even though he was there for a different job. So, but they picked him up in a limo, brought him to the suite. It was basically a 5-star scam because they was trying to wine him and dine him. So when they was feeding him their BS, you know, it looks like he's in the lap of luxury, or they look legit. They look like they know what they're talking about, and they all had their roles to play, and they were playing them very well. They all introduced themselves, and Emmanuel, he basically took the lead, and he ran Sakaguchi through the plans of the airport, and he reiterated wanting to keep the project confidential because it's not going to start for another 4 to 5 years. Sakaguchi was like, that's cool. you know, we'll send the money whenever y'all start in 4 to 5 years. And that's when Emmanuel was like, because, you know, 4 to 5 years, you know, he's trying to escape.
Nah, I need
he's trying to be out. You know what I'm saying? I need that right now. He basically was like, we need the money now. We need it up front because we got to start hiring companies for tools and materials. And finally, Sakaguchi finally started to feel a little something suspicious. But then my notes are so ridiculous. I was like, but Manny was pressure. I don't know why I put that. He told Sakaguchi straight up, if you aren't comfortable with this project, it's not a problem. You know, when people like guilt you, he's like, it's not a problem. We have a bunch of other investors interested, but you were the first one to respond and you were so excited about the idea. And like I said before, we want to reward you with $10 million for completing the deal. But again, if you aren't comfortable, we can find other investors. Sakaguchi was feeling that pressure and he said, you know what? Even if I did agree, there's no way that the bank's management would accept this offer because there's no way in hell that the bank's going to be like, yeah, let's give these people money before anything. Sakaguchi's initial thought process, well, to me, was it's going to take a year or two to get a return on this investment. So now we're moving this 4 to 5 years down the road and they want some of this money up front. So basically you're getting a 1 to 2 year return in 7 years plus if you get a return on it, well, which you're not because it's a scam. Anyway, he said he wasn't going to, he wouldn't even be able to get his bank management to accept the offer. And Manny, he told him straight up, he said, that's his issue and he has to resolve that.
Yeah, I feel Manny on that. Like, well, I don't know him like that. I feel Emmanuel on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, what are you doing here? If since you so powerless, you weren't powerless when you was eating that steak. And riding that limo, we sent your ass. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
You know, gave him steak.
Why are you here? And who's the nigga that's got the keys in? You know what I'm saying? What's going on?
Manny was hitting him with the what's going on. And he basically told him, he's like, that's your issue. And if your bank isn't ready for this opportunity with us, again, there are many other banks. And then Sakaguchi said, nope, you can count on me. We're partners on this project. He lapped up all the BS. And he agreed to the $242 million investment project, which, again, it wasn't supposed to be starting again for another 4 to 5 years. And before Manny even left, before Sakaguchi even left London, after the meeting, they had, more conversation. And Sakaguchi ended up giving Manny $3 million as a deposit before he left London. So Manny and the team, they came to London and knocked this meeting out the park because they got $3 million off of it. For the deposit.
Jesus.
So Sakaguchi had already said he didn't know if his bank was going to clear this, but he didn't even leave London and he gave them $3 million. I was so confused. But we're going to talk about Sakaguchi a little bit more. See, this is the version surrounding Sakaguchi. I wanted to frame it this way. And then next week or next time I talk about this, I'm going to talk more about Emmanuel. So that's why I'm getting on Sakaguchi and I keep wanting to call him So Gucci because I put him in my notes as So Gucci. But the gentleman's name is Nelson Sakaguchi. Nelson, again, he left London. He paid the $3 million deposit. And this is in 1995. From 1995 to 1998, Sakaguchi continued to send Emmanuel money. But he never told management for 3 years.
What? How? How did that fly under the radar? Such a big lump sum.
What his job is, he oversees foreign transfers that are under $6 million. If he had to get a transfer over $6 million, he would have to meet with like a board and then it would raise a flag. So what he was doing was he was sending transfers under $6 million through other countries and he was making sure that it was going through multiple accounts. And because... And the reason that none of the other bank managers even noticed where the money was going, because following up on funds was part of Sakaguchi's actual job.
So he was scamming.
They might as well put him in on the Bitcoin.
That's what I'm saying. Look,
they need to use him.
He told Sakaguchi is the one that told Emmanuel, we partners on this project. So he went back and he didn't even realize when he shook the hand of a scammer, he got the scammer gene, I guess, passed on to him because he went back to Brazil.
He already was like that. That's why he was interested in this shit in the first place.
They did this. They was in cahoots.
And why would you even want to do that much work? You know what I'm saying? Like they talking about a $10 million commission. That's unethical, first of all. Because
especially for $242 million.
Why is the commission $10 million? Like, that, the math isn't even right. So you know it's a con. He knew what it was, and he knew that he could do what he needed to do on his end to make it happen enough for him to get his $10 million bag. And that's what he was doing. He was on to them. Go ahead.
He sure was. That. Okay, Pooh-shiesty.
Right.
Well, child, he was sending the money to Emmanuel and back in Nigeria. And Manny's crew, they were taking the money, and instead of just keeping it to themselves, what they were doing is they were, because remember, Manny's crew, they all worked in banks in the financial sector. So they all knew, like, you know, we can't have this money in our accounts, or we can't, you know, just be buying, you know, all the new. We got to do some things with this. So they were investing in real estate and stocks internationally. So they bought some land, some, you know, they was flipping them dollars. They was, you know, making it happen with that money. It was all good in the hood until, right? Because remember, this is 3 years. And mind you, this project was supposed to start in 4 to 5 years. So I'm sure this money would have continued to roll. Because 242, remember he estimated around 250. 242 is where we landed. So we could have potentially...
All from him.
It doesn't say that he kept
The water was running over there with him.
Yeah. So all he had to do, he literally had his one mark. He didn't have to get greedy. He said he wanted to be wealthy, and you getting these $6 million deposits every so often. Like, you so wealthy at that point, you got to figure out what to do. It's like when you watch some drug movies and niggas getting so paid, and it's like, damn, we got to hide this money. And they be hiding it all over the houses in ridiculous places and shit. Like, instead of doing that, because they actually worked in the banks, they're like, all right, well, we got to invest in this stock, or we got to go buy property out here. All right. Over there, they don't have laws on that. So we can do this shit. Swiss bank accounts or island accounts in the Caymans or whatever, that type of thing. Well, again, everything was all good in the hood until Santander Bank. Are y'all familiar with Santander Bank?
Mm-hmm, the red logo with the white writing.
Yeah.
Have high-ass rates.
Well, I guess part of the reason they high-ass rates. Santander Bank comes along. They're looking at the Banco Nuestro. Okay, the Brazilian bank. They was like, you know, hey, you know, we a Spanish bank, and we want to look at y'all Brazilian bank. And the Brazilian bank's like, hey, you know, y'all are a bigger bank. And, you know, big bank take a little bank. And so they kiki-kied. They laughed. They thought it was cute. So they decided to introduce getting bought. So Banco was going to get bought by Santander. And so what they had to do was they had to put together a committee of people from both banks. So, you know, everything could be fair on both ends to look at Banco's books and make sure that they know what the hell that they buying. This board, they were looking at the value of the bank, of the Banco Nuestro. And they found that a third of the Citibank's capital was missing.
A third.
So hundreds of million dollars were just gone. So the board is looking like, I don't know if you should buy this bank. Some of them looking like, where the hell is this money? Some of them looking like, do I even want to work here no more? I don't know. That's why I said I want to see this in a movie. Like, I want to see like reactions and like how this affected people for real, because this is fucked up. Like people, like the bank has your money. Imagine you were banking with a smaller bank and you go to like make a withdrawal or a withdrawal, and they're like,
one of my biggest fears. Hey,
we ain't got no money. And it's like, I have money. Like, you know, like I don't even know what they would have even done at that point. But that's why I said I want to see this in the movie, to see like what effects were of this. So because it's gone, finally somebody's like, oh, you know what? We got to call Sakaguchi to fuck up in here, because Sakaguchi, it's his motherfucking job to figure out what the fuck's going on with the outgoing, you know, with the money going out. This nigga, the board of directors called this nigga in. This nigga comes in. He admits to them that he concluded a huge investment deal with the Nigerian government to build an airport in Abuja, and that he transferred $242 million over the past 3 years without the board's knowledge. So the bank asked him problem was. That's why I had to write this away. The bank asked him, what the fuck is your problem? Because, nigga, not only did you do this, but you ain't tell nobody, so it looks extra fucking shady. And honestly, I didn't see if it was. I mean, I know it came out later because, you know, when they talked about it. But I can't even imagine how he presented this to them. Like, was he trying to seem like he was proud that he concluded this deal? Like, he thought that it was still happening at this point. Did he realize he was in some real fucking trouble at this point? Because was he like, well, and also I hit a $10 million commission. I'm sure he didn't say that shit. Anyway,
And I'm sure he wasn't getting shit. Ain't no commission.
Ain't no commission. Catching charges at that point. An investigation took place because obviously one has to. An investigation from the side of the Banco Nordeste and Santander, you know, they still was with them. They was like, well, we're going to find out what the fuck happened to y'all money because, you know, we're still trying to buy y'all and, you know, we're going to invest in all this and we want y'all. And ultimately, they, you know, spoiler alert, they did buy them. I don't know what the name of it is today. It's like
who? Santander bought.
Santander did end up buying the Banco.
Why don't we ever see headlines about this? And I didn't even know he was that old.
About this scam?
Wait, Saucy no. Santana.
No. I knew
you
it.
Know what?
I knew it. I missed it.
And I didn't even know he was that old. Yeah. And I didn't know he was buying banks and shit. All we see about him is running out of club, you know, the shit we'd seen. I didn't know that I knew he was a great rapper. I just didn't know that they kind of capital invest, you know.
Well, an investigation took place, and basically the investigation traced those funds that Sakaguchi sent out all over the place and tried to wash them accounts in different countries. Oof. All roads pointed back to
Nigeria. Did he even try to, like, okay, go ahead. It's just like he stole the money, then as soon as they asked somebody, he said, oh, I took all that money. And then they went and got the money. Like, what, like?
And then they get them, were they able to get the money back?
Well, here's where I'll leave you, right? Because they traced the money back to Nigeria, but for a while it was hard for anything to come of that because Nigeria had a weak, they had a weak control over like their financial system. Over a lot of their like systems, they had weak control. There wasn't even laws in place over, you know, scams and fraud at the time. But it was basically a pain in the ass at first to get access to the identities of those people. Like they found out the accounts were in Nigeria, but then they couldn't even get access to who owned the account. So it was like, well, A, we need the fucking identities, and B, you know, how the fuck are we going to prosecute these people to get this fucking money back? They were being stonewalled until the Swiss got involved. The Swiss banks, you know, they were being sent the reports of what was going on, and the Swiss banks were like, well, damn, this is fucked up. And so they were telling Nigeria, they was like, bitch, y'all better give up them identities. We not playing with y'all because, you know, we gonna cut y'all asses off, and then what the fuck y'all gonna do? And then Nigeria's like, you know what? Sorry, niggas. And they gave up the names and identities of the accounts that ended up getting that money. Because Nigeria, again, you know, the sister was a little bit weaker then. So, you know, it was a little bit more personal to certain people. I guess it was easier to make some calls in certain situations. Plus, they stopped access to those accounts for a while to the folks getting paid in Nigeria. And they, when they told the Nigerian banks that they had to cooperate and give up those identities, again, Nigeria folded.
This is a bunch of pussies. First of all, like everybody is trying to get their cut off the top. Then as soon as the police tap them on the shoulder, oh, never mind. This will happen. Here it all is. You know what I'm saying? Like these are the
dumbest
people.
And this was a lot of money, man. Mm-hmm. They was moving. That's crazy to really think about. A third of the bank's finances.
Oof. The fraud was actually uncovered after December 1997 joint board meeting in which an official from Santander inquired why a large sum of money, it says actually here, two-fifths of Noreste's total value and half of their capital, so that's why it was a third probably, and half of their capital was sitting in the Cayman Islands unmonitored. After that, the criminal investigations began in Brazil, Britain, Nigeria, Switzerland, and the U.S. And to guarantee the sale to Santander, the families, the owners of the bank, they paid the $242 million bill themselves. Ain't that fucking crazy?
Yes.
Anyway, because again, it was so hard to get that money back. Again, the bank, the bank ended up collapsing in 2001. And I think later on is when the Santander was like, hey, when they bought them free or cheaper. But there was a larger thing at play here. I know Dustin was asking where the then governor was. And I wanted to get into all of that because there is a lot of fraud there's a lot more fraud. And again, potential assassination and some payoffs. There's like juicier parts of the story that come along with this. So that's why I wanted it to be a two-parter. But I wanted to give you the backdrop of more information on the $242 million airport that was purchased but never actually built. And we've done the bulk of that on this episode. And I will give you more details on what happened, what transpired with Sakaguchi, Emmanuel Nwud, and his crew and what's happened with everybody today on a later episode.
And he got the money, you said, right? Like, he got away with it?
For a while. He's real gangster because in the next part that I'm going to talk about, he actually, in some weird way, like, that's why I have to, like, break down all of it, because the system is corrupt for real over there. But the nigga was basically trying to barter how much of that shit he was going to pay back until shit just kept happening. When he was actually being charged and tried for these crimes, this nigga was tampering with the jury.
I mean,
look, amongst other things. So that's why it's like there has to be another part to this. And right. I want to be able to talk about all of that at another time. I'm going to start it off with what happened to Sakaguchi, because remember, he was acting like everything was all good in the hood with him at the board meeting. But we're going to pick up with Sakaguchi and then get back into Emmanuel on the next time that I do this.
Only Saka I trust is Joya.
Here you go.
This guy, she's on the quarter. So that does it for this week's main. What is it?
You know what? Button? That'll be the title. Only Saka I trust.
Yeah.
Yes.
Joya. Real bitch. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Saka Joya was a real one. Work hard. You know what I'm saying?
Cause the sisters are doing it for who? Yeah, so that does it this week. What are you guys' thoughts on everything? Would you, if you were in Sakaguchi's position?
I wouldn't be.
Right. But that is massive. Again, that is such a massive scam to play with.
It was 1995 and things were different. So you get this fax on this official letterhead. Let's say you just having coffee, standing next to the fax machine, and then a fax comes in like, hey, Abuja, capital Nigeria, trying to build an airport. We looking for some money. And you know what? You're like, you know, I want to help some niggas out. Shit. Mm-hmm. And it's on the official letterhead. Right. I think there was more due diligence that I was just kind of wondering about, because I don't know what the times were, but like, you know, there's no government officials you speak to, or it's just you going to meet these people. Like, it's not like a 3 to 5 people meeting per person.
Let me tell you something. This may have been 1995. I had to Google this before I went on and opened the chamber real quick. This may have been 1995, but in 1978, Kenny Rogers came out with a song called The Gambler. Okay. And in that song, he said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Okay. Now, he didn't already gave you the direction. Ooh. So if somebody called you from fucking Nigeria talking about, hey, I know you work at this bank, you got access to money. We building the airport and we want you to give us all the money, but we ain't going to tell you shit about it. And we don't even want to see you in person.
And we can't meet. What?
But then he agreed to meet them. They met in London. And then he fucked up.
I never would have agreed to meet nobody. You know what I'm saying? I never would have went. I never would have even talked.
I would have had to have like two lawyers. Like, we talking about y'all building an airport and we the bank, and we talking about how many hundreds of million. Like, there needs to be a whole board with me to have this conversation, because this ain't something just my little management. He's working at the bank. He wasn't even supposed to approve transactions above $6 million. Now he all of a sudden has an offer for a $242 million project on his desk to facilitate. Like, what?
Who is his boss?
I don't have the information. I'll get it for you. Apparently,
Saucy Santander Bank was his boss, because they the ones who came in and checked them, boo.
They bought it later. Santander found out when they was prospectualizing this company. They was like, where this money at? What's wrong with this nigga? I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode about this particular scammer. We're going to talk about him one more time before the end of 2003, and then we're going to be done with him potentially. I feel like this nigga is going to keep popping up, because he popped up in like 2016 with some shit. Because this happened in 1998, and like, the story just continues to develop, and I don't want it to be a Mystic Zone thing, because I just want, you know,
things to stop. He is a slut from the 90s.
A paid slut from the 90s. So
remember when Portia said that to Kenya? Yes,
always. We'll never forget that.
Slap from the 90s.
It was so cute when she said it too.
That is crazy to say.
You thought that was cute?
The way she said it, she sounded so cute. Oh, please. You are a slut from the 90s. Like, she just sounded so like cute when she said it. I don't know. I appreciate it. Now we can bring in the wind chimes.
All right. So let's bring in the wind chimes. So this week, I said that I was going to be discussing red light therapy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Remember, we had planned that, yeah. But mm-hmm. I actually want to wait because I'm not home. And for those of you watching on Patreon, I actually want to turn it on, my Saluma Pro, and show you guys what it looks like. Excuse me. I feel like that flight got my throat. A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Active. That can be every time.
So what Fran is saying while she's drinking her water, what Fran is saying is she's going to look like the silhouette challenge when she does it.
I'm so sorry. My tech is just a mess today.
She gonna have that red light. Like
they said
Doja
I look like
on.
I was in witness protection.
Well,
I do look like a true crime doc. Ugh, it's okay.
Oh my God, no.
Life will get better. So I'm going to wait because it really is magical. When you turn it on, it just looks so high tech and futuristic and cool. And I did not want to miss the opportunity to turn that on Patreon. So we'll wait till I'm back home.
All right.
Which is basically the week after next. And it'll be my episode too, so I can just knock it all on one. But because we had discussed retinol, remember, mm-hmm. which got a huge response because a lot of you were like, oh, thank God I've tried retinol. It's fucked up my skin. Thank you for providing an alternative option for more sensitive skin. And I also wanted to mention this pro retinol argan oil eye cream that I also I know, right?
Love me some argan oil, child.
I hate that I'm in witness protection because you can barely see it.
No, we can see that.
Put your hand up. I can almost make it out.
I gotta there we go.
Oh, boom.
Oh, retinol. I thought you were talking about the part of the show last week when we were complaining about our bills. And I was like, I'm sick of all my bills. Retinol.
Oh, my God.
I thought that's
you
what you were talking about.
Go ahead. Dustin Ross. So I told y'all that my skin, for some reason, has just been responding really well to these softer encapsulated retinols. And I realized that Josie Marin, who I love, y'all know she uses like incredible botanical ingredients, totally my wave. She has a retinol line as well. She has serums, body butters, face creams. I haven't tried any of those because I feel I'm not like a skincare junkie. Like once I have my routine, I kind of stick to it. I'm very much like if it ain't broke, I won't fix it. Okay. But I do like trying little things here and there for the most part. And I like eye creams I kind of switch out of. I use the Epanoui, which I mentioned on this show before, that same brand that had the Pretty Kitty hygiene system.
Yeah.
Obsessed with her that I also talked to you guys about. I use her eye cream, but then I switch out this retinol maybe like twice a week.
I'm an eye cream person.
I love
I'm such an eye cream person.
I know I need it, but like it's just I already be doing the contacts and be fucking my eyes. So like I'd be scared putting creams and shit under already. Like I'd be struggling with moisturizer
that too,
and shit. So
because some people it makes their eyes burn because it's just a lot going on under the eye. But for me, I love eye creams. I feel like it just adds something to it when I do my skincare at night. Mm-hmm. Add the eye cream, and in the morning it just looks supple. I feel like it helps with the darkness. You know, a lot of us are experiencing a lot of changes under eyes, yes, especially from stress.
Like Tasha K was worrying about them $4 million she got to pay Cardi B.
Or aging or whatever other factors are contributing to your face just changing. You know what I mean? But I want to tell you guys the ingredients. So I told y'all Josie Maran is known for her botanical ingredients. But what I like about this product, she has argan oil, which seals in the moisture. My skin loves argan oil. I don't know what it is.
Same.
But it responds extremely well. I told y'all I use the argan oil on my skin after my tans when I'm on vacation. My face just likes argan oil. My hair loves argan oil.
My body.
It's just the oil that I can trust and rely on. She also uses green coffee, which is what helps with the puffiness, if that's what you're experiencing. It's the caffeine in the green coffee that kind of makes it puff out a little bit. She also uses hyaluronic acid. That's supposed to provide the hydration. That's another one that kind of can mess with people's skin. I've heard a lot of estheticians suggest it, but then people I'll see usually in the comments like, man, that fucked my skin up. But she uses encapsulated, similar to the retinol. You gotta be careful with skincare advice. Similar with retinol, this is an encapsulated version, which means, remember from that episode 2 weeks ago, it just means that it's protected. So it's less volatile on the skin and better for people with sensitive skin. So if you've been looking for one that you can use, I definitely suggest checking out Josie Maran's retinol line. And then lastly, pink algae serum from a lake that a lake she discovered.
I mean, this woman does it all.
Wow.
From a lake she's clearly in partnership with in Australia where they get pink algae. I had to look up like what the fuck are the benefits of pink algae.
Because apparently, thought we were supposed to stay the fuck away from algae.
I use a lot of products that have algae, especially your butt. Especially deep conditioners with algae are always really good. But this one, it's a natural source of vitamin A.
Okay.
So this is what brings that sort of youthful, dewy suppleness that your face will have, kind of like the way your face looks after you use serums. So these are these are the ingredients she put together for this whipped, and it's whipped too, so it just goes. Yeah, when you dab it, skin, it just integrates really well into your skincare. So, something that I think you should consider if you're looking for under eye cream, I do like that it doesn't give that stingy, eye burning thing that can happen sometimes with eye cream, especially if you're someone that tends to have like more sensitive, watery eyes, especially when you're sleeping. Just a great product. Like I said, I only use it like 2 to 3 times a week. I mainly stick to the Epanoui under eye cream, Epanoui brand that I swear by. But wanted to put this on your radar. I'm really just the Josie Maran line as a whole. Like, just go on the website, JosieMaran.com. If you're someone that is more ingredient, wellness, and health conscious with your products, this is definitely a brand that you should consider. I'm obsessed with them. So check it out. And then in the next wellness segment, I promise that we will do all things red light therapy. And that's it. Back to you, Asante, Mr. Music Man. What you got for us this week?
Well, I want to first start off by saying rest in peace to Irish Grinstead from the group 702.
Oh my God, yes. That's so sad. She's that so is young. Sad.
She was 43. Only 43, which is crazy. That just was crazy to hear. And I just want to take a moment because I know we talked about her on that show. But we talked about that music, which we loved. So I wanted to take a moment out to honor her. Yeah. And shout her out. Prayers to her family. And I hope she is somewhere with her twin right now, you know, enjoying herself.
Oh,
you know, because that was like a thread on that show that like really stuck with me, too. I was like, damn, like she was a twin. So moving on. Katy Perry reportedly makes $225 million by selling her music catalog.
Come on.
Gone, girl.
Right? Justin Bieber was the previous title holder of offloading his stake in his back catalog. in January for $200 million. So she got him up at 25 mil. It's crazy.
She got some hits though. The Teenage Dream album.
What?
Has five Hot 100 number one hits on it. That and Michael Jackson.
I mean, say what you want about Katy Perry, but them pops records, undeniable.
Undeniable. Teenage Dream is such, it's one of my favorite songs. I love that
Same.
Song.
Same. It's
Teenage
fun.
Dream, Firework, California Girls, I Kissed a Girl, Hot and Cold. Like, the girl had songs. Even
I didn't like Firework personally. I felt like it was chasing me. It, I knew that song. It was chasing you.
They played it everywhere.
Boom, boom, boom. You'll be
burning. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, anyway, shout out to her, Ness Bang, and she does the right hits. So I'm not mad at it. And, you know, I'd like some money. Shout out to you, Katy Perry, if you want to give me some. In other news, the VMAs happened. There were a lot of good performances I enjoyed. Your thoughts on the VMAs?
I thought Nicki was incredible. Her performance was incredible. Of that new single that she did called Big Difference, I thought that was great.
Oh,
I thought,
yeah, this, the ballad.
Yeah, well, no, that one is last time I saw you, which I appreciated that too. Mm-hmm. The pop song.
Oh, the preview of Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. I definitely enjoyed thoroughly Megan and Cardi B's performance of Bongos. I thought they both looked beautiful. It was high energy. I really enjoyed everything about that. Those girls work really, really hard, and I like to see that. And I really enjoyed Diddy's performance. Mary J. Blige looked beautiful introducing him, and Keisha Cole sang her face off on one of my favorite songs, so I was very happy overall.
Yes, Diddy was honored for Global Icon Award.
Yep.
Diddy received the Global Icon Award. I enjoyed those performances as well. I also randomly, I didn't like enjoy per se. I enjoyed because I was like, what?
Olivia
Rodrigo. Yes. Yeah. I did, you know, I saw that the audience was into it. You know, I was feeling it. I was like, I understand the appeal. I get it. Now, am I going to go out and listen to the music and become a fan? I don't know. But like, I get it. So I like when I can just watch things young. And get it.
Yeah.
I like when I can just watch things and get it. Like when I see Taylor Swift, I just be like, okay, girl. Like when I saw Taylor Swift and Ice Spice, I was a little annoyed. But like, you know, I was happy to see Ice.
Let me tell you, Taylor Swift had a motherfucking ball.
She did. Fun all night long. Shows to me. I think she'd be having a good time.
Had a blast.
All night long.
And it felt a little creepy, to be honest. I felt like the camera was like on her. Like, can she chill?
Can she let her live, right?
Like, let her dance and party with her friends and have her drinks. But it's like they were just on her. That's the their whole Beyonce. Time.
That's I thought annoying. That made her riff that. A little bit more. The way she was writhing her body.
You know what? What else is something?
The way she was doing. They made her do she that more because the camera was
white girl,
on.
White girl.
But
the club.
But I do think she has a good time. I think she's fun. You know what I'm saying? Let her do her thing. Like, it is what it is. I see a lot of people giving her a hard time sometimes, and rightfully so. But in that case, I'm like, let her have a good time. She had a fucking award show. You know what I'm saying?
In
like,
the middle of a tour, too. You
let
know?
Her party. She need to let loose.
I forgot. I'm just going to quickly go through some of the performances. Because I watch most. I watched everybody, actually. I think as I'm looking through everybody. Doja Cat, I liked her performance. I thought it was very interesting. It was a VMA type performance, you know, like I like when people do stuff like that. I do not care about Kelsea Ballerini. I'm sorry, that's not for me. I like that new Lil Wayne song. Good.
Shout out to Lil Wayne. Shout out Karen Civil.
Yes, I like that Lil Wayne song. Cat Food, he performed that along with a medley of Back That Ass Up and Uproar. Ooh, I cannot say that. What Måneskin, is that their name?
Who?
So there's a rock group, or I don't know what they are. I didn't watch the performance. I'm sorry, but the Måneskin performed. They're a high drama Italian rock band. Italian rock.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Was he topless, like shirtless?
Yep, shirtless. And he walking around. I don't know what's in his hand. Is it a film recorder or something?
Oh, you know what? I did like that performance. I thought he was extremely talented because I had no idea who he was. Mm-hmm. And he kept me engaged the whole time.
Well, so I did watch. Like maybe it. I'll watch since you said that.
Yeah, it Shakira. Was good. He's talented.
Shakira was honored with this year's Video Vanguard Award.
For avoiding Tiffany Haddish. That's what they gave her the award for.
She was being so childish. God, people like that annoy me. People that don't know when to let the bit go. There's nothing more annoying than that. Like that personality type makes me.
Which is exactly why.
Let it go. No one's laughing. Yeah, she looked mortified. Because she probably don't know who Tiffany Haddish is.
Well,
why are you screaming my name?
And chasing me around.
Well, Tiffany did that to Shakira, but Shakira persevered. She still great, gave a great performance and got her award. Anita performed. Anita performed a couple times. I love Anita.
I didn't. When she performed that, the first line of the song is like, oh. I used to be a hoe.
Yes, yes,
and I'm
yes.
not no more. Yes, I was like, yes. What the fuck? Mm-hmm.
See, and it's
like caught me off guard.
But see, last year she performed, she has a song called Involver. And she performed, it's like a slow sexual thing. And it's like, she did like a slower song last year. So when she did something more fun and ho-ish, I was like, okay, then off rip. And then all the bitches was popping and shit. It was hot. And then later on, she performed with a K-pop band. So it
Anita
was cool.
Is the shit.
I love Anita. That look, shit had me I would live for a remix of Bongos with Anita on it or some shit and watch all three of them hoes pop it. Cause I was
well,
like,
it makes sense because it's a Brazilian beat. So right. That would actually be kind of cool. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Throw Anita in the mix. But yes. lots of cool performances, lots of amazing things happen. There was more music news type things that I should have talked about and asked about, but I didn't really want to. And so I'm just glad that we talked about the VMAs to fill that time. So now we can get ready to move into the listens lately, songs to play.
Yeah.
I want to know what songs that y'all have been playing and listening to, because that's what we do. And let's start with you, Fran. I know you've been traveling. Maybe you've been listening to something on a plane. What you got for us?
I have actually. I discovered two new artists I never heard before, and they kind of popped up. I was listening to Cleo Soul's new album, which please check it out. It's called Heaven. It feels so good. And you know, when when an album finishes, it turns into like the radio of that artist playing songs that are similar. So, man, it just put me on to so many new artists. I feel like I kept running to my phone to be like, who is this? Yeah, and trying to catch them. As I was cleaning my house this weekend. And then I was like, okay, I have to play some of these new artists. They're just so good. There's an artist out of Kenya named Xenia Manase.
Okay.
And she has a record called Soul Lovers. She actually has a whole album called Love Hate Part One. And it's really good. I was like so excited to be put on to her. And when I went to look her up on IG, we had so many mutuals. Like India follows her, PJ follows her. So I was like, clearly I'm late, but I'm glad to have been put on. But I'm here. Thanks to Cleo Soul. So Xenia, that's spelled X-E-N-I-A. Manase, that's M-A-N-A-S-S-E-H. And the song is called Soul Lovers.
Yes, very.
Yes.
She sounds so beautiful, and that record is just lovely. But honestly, the whole project is good. And then I discovered an artist named Elmien. That's spelled E-L-M-I-E-N-E. Mm-hmm. He has a beautiful record called Choose You. And this is how it goes.
I was underwater, feeling so ashamed. I never thought I'd find her, the girl that makes me safe. Now I think I've fallen high into the light. Never thought I'd find a, a girl that makes me smile. I'm sick and tired of chasing nothing. Glimpse of love that never stayed. Now the sunny skies have opened. Can't believe I get to choose you. You. Out of everyone else, I get to choose you. Ooh, ooh. Out of everyone else.
And that's a nice vibe.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Super chill. Hell I just feel like we're going into the fall, colder weather. I'm starting to listen to just the more like slow down, you know, sitting in front of the fireplace with a blanket. But I do have my last song. Mm-hmm. So if y'all been hearing this, I hope I'm saying it, pronouncing it right, because I looked it up and I heard South Africans saying Nike, but I also heard Nika. So mm-hmm. I don't know which one it is, but it's M-N-I-K-E. Mm-hmm. It's I'm a piano. I hope I'm saying that right.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this song.
It's a South African genre of music. It's so bomb. Pronounced I'm a piano, A-M-A-P-I-A-N-O. And this song is by DJ Maporisa, which we've played on the show before, and Tyler ICU. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's called Nike. And this is how it goes.
Nigga song. I'll be telling my friends she's saying nigga. I'll be telling all my friends.
I actually saw a video. Did y'all see it of Candy doing of Candy doing the choreography to this?
A footwork. Hell yeah.
A footwork. Yeah. I saw a video of her actually on Twitter. But yeah, this song has been hot all summer.
Yes.
And it took me forever to find it. I was like, I always hear, but I didn't know what it was called or how to find it. And then I finally found it and popped up on the radio thing. So
that's like just a fun.
I got you. That's just like a fun end of summer record. So those are my three for this week. I think there's some good range there.
Yes. All right, Dustin Ross, what you got? What you been over there listening to?
This song is called Baby Trying. It's called Wake the Fuck Up. They was blasting it outside my window the other day, and I was like, what that is?
It's the best way to know music.
Like, Baby Trying. I yell. So I'm getting that. Pull up to your crib, man. Stuff, bitch, and get you, girl. Fuck you, watch it.
hood to your crib, masked up, bitter get spooked. Still a go and eat some ramen noodles, I ain't get bougie. Nice guy, but playing with my paper, and I'ma get moved. High as hell dripping, kicks Louis finna twist dookies. Oh, you watching, huh? Mister think you tough, oh, you plying, huh? You just type to post guns, but never really shot him, huh? You gon' get dropped. This is not a trist pop, bitch, I only sip wop. Got a bag on me, no trick or treat. 100,000 on the road when the whip hit the street. Dog got a hit, pint of red, think he sippin' pink. Think that you up, that's a dream, boy, you still asleep. Wake your ass up. Ryan Cullen in like fuck a lamb truck. Quaggy Eggy got me stuck, I can't stand up. I'll run it up, sitting down. Always feel like somebody's watching, it's a blink around. Chillin' wide awake for the pay. Can't fall asleep, I ain't even blinking. Ride around, play after play. Real flight catcher, next week you might see me in Phoenix.
Yeah, the next song I'm about to play is called There I Go by Gucci Mane featuring J. Cole and Mike Will.
Mike Will made it, 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 Gucci Mane slayed it, Cole walking out with M's, the promoter paid it.
Wow.
The promoter paid it, yeah. Real say that a lot. You could tell how I talk and the way that I rock. I'm a straight shooter, no sugar coat, no booger sugar, never had a nose full of dough. It's all good, folks. Coke how you wanna cope, drink what you wanna drink, smoke what you wanna smoke, stroke who you wanna stroke, just as long as she down. If she not, then run along, boy. It's too many fish to be pressed about a bitch. I'm stacking too many chips, could care less about a fit. I'm missing dirty ass kicks watching YouTube. I'm cutting grass and designing like it's FUBU.
Cole snapped on that verse, so enjoy that in your own time.
It's fire.
This is my first of all, let me just say I love Diddy's album, the Love album off the grid.
Yes.
I can't stop playing the album. Of
what
course
song you finna play?
Y'all know my favorite song is track 18. I'm not even gonna say no names, I'm just gonna play it.
Baby, don't go. Baby, don't go. Oh, baby, don't go.
Yeah, baby.
Baby, don't go.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, don't go. Baby, don't go.
I see you calling, and I'm thankful that you're thinking of me. And it's true, I'm falling. So hard to say no. Cause every time I'm with you, you do things that I like. Every touch, how you talk makes me wanna believe in love. Can't get you off my brain.
Yeah, that song is called I Like, featuring Mary J. Blige. It's Diddy and Mary J. Blige. Then my three songs for the week. I do want to give an honorable shout out to Offset with his single Fan. I love that song. I love that video.
I like
video.
His album cover, too.
Yes. Watch the video for that song. It's incredible.
Okay. I'll check it out.
That's it for me this week.
All right. First song I'm going to play is by Dame Dolla featuring Lil Wayne. This song is called The One.
I take the jet to the west for a load and come back with a ton. Don't care what I spun, it come how it came like a boomerang. Yeah, and that boomerang rung, it's tune cheers up. Watch face, nasty as Freddy. The eight people get it, the road of the president. Diamonds jump straight out the face of the paddock. That gas 93, that's supreme. No, I let it, more money, more problems, no lease on the rate. And I'm ballin' 2-3 LBJ, I'm right here. I ain't hiding, no needle, no hate. Drippin' this hard gon' make me dehydrate. Get the back end, take it straight to the bank. I'm laughing all the way to the bank. Got the Mac 10, the AK with the shank. Straight from New Orleans, Satan the Saint. Told my brother to chill, we gon' take over Forbes in a minute, just give it a minute. I done made well over 100 million. I barely the kid, but a kid with a billion. And I'm on the island, it's me and like six of them. Kissing them, I'm blissing them. I ain't sissing them, they sisters. I don't give a if they real sister. Yeah, got a bad.
Yeah, so that's the one. That was Lil Wayne. This song is by an artist named Killer G. This song is called Higher, and this is how it goes.
Run away as fast as you can and go make some plans. I say this in every way I give my breath.
don't need no friends. I'm well on my way. Sativa on the table. Now I'm feeling grateful. Going higher, 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 higher.
Just a beautiful song. You got some time. I said that to the rotation. Last song I'm going to play is also from Diddy's new project because it features, this particular song features Don Richard and Kalina, which make Dirty Money along with Diddy, as well as Busta Rhymes. And, you know, I'm happy that Busta's there, but I really want another Dirty Money project. I don't know what I'll have to do to have it, but.
Yeah, he needs to move out the way.
And Busta can be on the project again, or this can be, you know, just part of their collection.
On another song, because them niggas need space. We want Dirty Money, Diddy Dirty Money.
Yes, I need more Dirty Money, but this is the track.
Are we off the grid?
Let's go, 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 let's go. Like our money dirty.
Baby, I see the spark in your eyes tonight. I'm caught up in your vision. If I could just stop time, if I could just stop time.
Yes, that's Deliver Me. That is the Dirty Money track featuring Busta Rhymes. Well, featuring Dirty Money, I guess, and Busta Rhymes. And that is on Diddy's new project. Go check it out. Go listen to Deliver Me. That does it for the That does it for the Music Man segment. Now we can give it back to Dustin Ross for TV Land. What have you been watching, sir?
Real quick, y'all need to tune into Love and Marriage Huntsville, the new season premiere.
Oh my God.
This past weekend, and it was jam-packed with nothing but good ass scenes. There was a scene, if you're familiar with the show, you are. If you're not, please do your Googles. There's a scene where Kimmy and her husband Maurice are talking about her waning sexual desire due to her cancer diagnosis and some of the medications that she's had to take as a result of that, and his lack of awareness, sensitivity toward it, and he just watched the show. He really let me down in that scene.
Yeah.
And I think that Maurice Scott is smart. I think he's a smart man. He's an attorney by trade, smart. But in that case, he just lacked the foresight to say, you know what, maybe not this, maybe not right now. And Kimmy responded.
He reminded me he was a Scott.
Kimmy, she responded to that by telling him, you know, like, you're bordering on being an ass. Like, what you're doing, like, I'm going to now be offended by. She was very much present in making room for him and his needs as well as what she was, her experience, what she was experiencing. It was just some real, authentic, genuine, great reality television. Thanks to
which
the people.
One is Maurice, the lighter one?
Okay. And
yeah,
Kimmy is his wife. Remember, she battled breast cancer the past two seasons.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting. There's tons of other stories that are a part of this new season that make it just jam packed and full of gripping, riveting scenes. So watch Love and Marriage Huntsville. You know, that's it. That's all I want to talk about this week for TV.
Not that big.
Everybody on strike.
I watched The Other Black Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all see promo for that?
I didn't watch it yet. I've seen the promo.
I saw a promo. Yeah, it's on Hulu. She was on Watch What Happens Live the other night. The author of the book.
The lead. Mm-hmm. Oh, the author. Oh, sick. Yeah, apparently the book is better, which I feel like usually happens with books and adaptations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had heard a lot about this in like a silly way. Like people were like, oh, that's the show about haunted hair grease, you know, like people cracking jokes. So I was like, I don't know what I was walking into, but I thought it was okay. It definitely is something that you'll sit and watch in one fucking fell swoop. I ended up watching the whole season and didn't even realize.
Wow.
Oh, wait. Is it the whole season? Maybe it's still coming out. I don't know. But I watched whatever is available.
I think it was probably the whole season because it started with like 6 or 8 episodes out.
Yeah, it's like 8. or nine. Yeah, eight, yeah, but I watched whatever's on Hulu, and it was definitely interesting. There are parts of it that if you've ever worked in corporate or in that world, you definitely feel connected to the storylines. Some of it was just like ridiculous, but all in all, I think it's a good watch. Also, the changeling.
The changeling. It's not the a changeling. Baby.
I was afraid to watch it because I thought it was horror, and it kind of still is, but it's not like gruesome. Yeah. Like there's some gory shit, but it's not the kind where
it's what
you're
I
like,
thought From
oh,
was gonna
no.
be, but I forgot From is a little bit more than that.
No, From was
That's what I'm saying.
No,
that's
it's not
saying.
Gory. Cut to a head. I forgot, you know,
much of it happened already. I was like, oh, I forgot that happened.
I forgot, that was just straight up gory. This is creepy and it's more of a psychological thriller. I still don't know what the fuck is going on.
You watched the fourth episode?
Yes, that's the last one.
Was that the mama from Malcolm in the Middle? Because I could not find, I meant to watch the credits at the end.
No, I never watched it.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Cal. I was like, is that the mama from, was that Frankie Muniz's mama or Malcolm in the Middle? Because if it, I was, you know, I'd be high. I was having a whole moment like, what a pivot of character. Like, you know,
but
like,
she whooped
what
that
range.
Guy's ass.
Yo.
That movie. But anyway, that show was weird. I still don't know what's going on. I
have no idea.
It's about witches in Brazil or some shit.
What, the changelings?
Yeah,
the changeling.
It's on Apple TV. So if Apple you're TV, into it. Some creepy psychological thrillers, and it's Lakeith Stanfield as the lead.
Yes,
he played one of the witches.
No, nah, he's trying to find out what the fuck the witches did with his
baby.
Yeah,
exactly. So well it's creepy, it, but it's good. Definitely watch it. It's on its fourth episode, like Asante said. That's yes. it. I think that's the only like. Oh, and the O selling the OC. Is that how you say it?
Selling O. You watched it?
Selling OC. I didn't watch the whole thing, but the new season is out. So you know those of us that are
wait,
obsessed.
How far are you?
Probably like three episodes.
Oh,
two,
child.
Two episodes.
That Jarvis. It's something about that Jarvis I really fuck with, and she was reading bitches down this season. Like one girl was like, "I don't even know what that means." She was like, "I absolutely believe that you don't." I was like. Anyway,
when I heard the title Selling OC, I thought it was a docuseries about old white male prostitutes.
It is.
And I love Brandy. I don't care. She can't do no wrong in my eyes. And I don't care about Alex
Brandy's
Hall.
Cute.
Alex Hall was only cast because she has the same silhouette as Chrishell.
No, you didn't.
She wears that same color hair that Chrishell used to wear before Chrishell started switching it up. And I have money.
Oh,
now.
That's what she's going by now, huh? Chrishell.
What was her name?
Michelle.
No, not she.
You
all
know
right.
What?
Well, I just
so
have one last
it.
Thing.
Those are my three suggestions.
Okay, last thing for me, Big
and
Brother
top
watchers.
Four.
Shout out to all the Big Brother watchers. I don't even know what to say about Big Brother. All I know is Ceree was almost faced with a dilemma. Ceree is the black woman that from Survivor who's in the house with her son, and people don't know it's her son in the house. Ceree's son has been playing a very terrible game, and to be honest with you, I want Ceree to evict to at some point cut loss with her son. But
What's her son's name?
Jared.
Okay.
Jared currently is the HOH, and he's making moves, and I have not caught up with the feed, so I'm not sure what's happening right now. I believe he has two people nominated that he wants to get out. But he wants to backdoor somebody. I don't know if they've been backdoored. Long story short, Ceree was planning for if somebody else won the veto and took somebody off the block, she wanted to sacrifice herself for her son's game. Her son has been playing terribly.
Oh, wow.
And I just want to say, Ceree, if this ever gets to you, you are a great mom. You are an amazing mom.
But you need
and
to get
I really
your
hope
kids.
You talk to your son
but
about some of the things
kids.
He did. Really fuck those kids. Because I really hope that you talk to his ass about some of his gameplay. Because it was very messy. It was very rocky. He played worse than Felicia.
And it's your fault because you his damn mama.
And you his mama. He didn't take enough notes. I'm so sorry. Well, and I don't blame you for real. Like, he just seemed like
right,
he died.
Right, we just playing with you because it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Because at one point, he's like, I don't care if anybody going to tell me what to do, even if it's my own mom. But that's all. Big Brother, watch that. Foundation was really great. Shout out to Dermazelle. And that's it for me.
Oh, Foundation. Claude told me to watch that.
All you
got to
watch
well,
Foundation.
I'll try. Those apocalyptic shows, they just feel like they're all the same. But thank you for listening. We love you guys so much, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.